T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So excited to be talking football with y'all. Welcome to our midday party. Rick and John here in the Kia Studios on the home of the Falcons. And kind of all quiet on the Falcon front right now, but certainly it is not quiet around the NFL. John, look, tell me if you agree with this. The conversation, the debates, the analysis that we get into right now in the offseason about all the moving pieces and quarterbacks and filling holes and right guard for the Falcons and tight end for the Falcons – all of these conversations, John, that fuel us through the offseason, they are arguably as good, if not greater, than breaking down during the season.
Yep.
Did he catch it or not? Was it a bad call or a good call by the ref? Should this guy be benched? Why the heck does this team stink? And why is this team so good? Like, I love those conversations. But this offseason conversation about Jimmy Graham going to Green Bay, not New Orleans, not Atlanta, I think it's just as fascinating as the conversations we have in the regular season.
Absolutely, because what this is, you have all the speculation. And then even once guys sign, and 4 o'clock today is the official deadline when guys can start putting pen to paper because the new league calendar year starts. Even then, you now start to have speculation. All right, which team helped themselves? They go back to Mark's favorite thing. We can have the way too early who won free agency. We already had people grading free agency yesterday, and guys haven't even officially signed yet. That leads us to a Vision Computers Twitter poll brought to you by Vision Computers, where if you need help with tech support, it's less than 15 seconds away. That's your average hold time, less than 15 seconds with Vision Computers. What are we cooked up at Rick and John 929?
All right, talking about some of the worst free agency moves so far. Was it Bradford's 1-year $20 million deal?
Yeah, maybe.
Was it Cousins' 3-year $84 million deal?
All guaranteed.
Maybe.
How about Watkins' 3-year $48 million deal?
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Or Richardson's 5-year $40 million deal?
Okay, can I answer now?
Yes.
Sammy Watkins. It's one of the worst contracts I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. He might be cut after 1 year.
Yeah.
Right, he'll catch 35 balls in Kansas City.
He'll be hurt for
and,
7 games.
So I think my vote is Sammy Watkins. What's yours?
This is tough. The fact that I'm going to say out of those, the least bad contract was Kirk Cousins, $84 million all being guaranteed, tells you how bad some of the other deals were. I think Kirk Cousins is he's a solid starter in this league. He is not a $28 million quarterback, I can tell you that much. When you have to say Richardson, and there's probably people going, huh, Sheldon Richardson? That's not bad. When you have to explain that that's Paul Richardson, that's the worst contract to me. Paul Richardson is an average, and you could throw Albert Wilson's contract in there, and I know he's a Georgia State guy, but give me a break. He's had 7 touchdowns, and he's getting $8 million a year.
He's a Georgia State guy?
Yeah, he's a Georgia State guy.
Good for him. I did not know.
I believe he went to high school around here, too.
Shocking, a Georgia football player in the NFL?
Yeah.
No. So Albert Wilson got 3 years and $24 million from the Miami Dolphins, and kind of a head-scratcher. How about this? Do you even know who Ryan Grant, wide receiver, is? Do you even know who that is?
I thought Ryan Grant was a running back.
Do you know who Ryan Grant played for last year?
The Redskins?
Correct, sir. Do you remember him making any plays?
No, because I thought Ryan Grant was a running back.
All right. Well, the Baltimore Ravens signed this Ryan Grant.
Okay.
Who I've seen have moments in preseason games, and then he vanishes all year. Mm-hmm. Okay. 4 years, $29 million, $14.5 million guaranteed.
Mm.
I promise you, 75% of the people driving around listening to us right now have no clue who Ryan Grant is.
What was the numbers on that deal
Nor
again?
Should you know who he is. 4 years, $29 million, 14.5 guaranteed for Ryan Grant.
So Ryan Grant, 84 catches, 985 yards, and 6 touchdowns.
In three years?
I was going to hit the punchline. That's for his career.
How many years?
4 years.
Oh, my God.
So he's averaging 21 catches and about 300 yards a year.
It's just unbelievable. It's just absolutely unbelievable.
Actually, not even 300. He's averaging 21 catches, about 215 yards a year.
Now, he's been a fourth and fifth receiver. You know what I'm saying? He's been a
then
depth
pay
bench
him
guy.
Like a fourth
no,
and
I,
fifth
I,
receiver.
Look, I totally agree. I think that is, look, we have our 4 worst contracts of free agency. That's the fifth. to me. John, I want to tell people to go to 929thegame.com for a lot of obvious reasons. The interviews are there. And we chop up segments and bits of segments, but and it's brand new. It's more navigable than before. I've got an article up right now. It's titled here, Will Recent Free Agent QB Frenzy Hurt NFL Draft Prospects? And so I want to get into that in just a little bit here, John, because I think the maneuvering of quarterbacks in the weeks preceding the last 2 days and then the last 2 days has really hurt the Mayfields, the Allens, the Darnolds, the Rosens. And so we'll get into that a little bit, and I'll explain myself. But let's talk about these Falcons, man, because I know a lot of people are like, why are we making moves?
Right.
So, John, I just want you to address, and then I will, because listening to Dukes and Bell yesterday, and they had a rollicking show with all the popcorn popping and all the movement, and you know, you've got Mike Bell preaching patience. You've got Carl Dukes, you know, kind of being impatient, as it were. So there's two sides of that coin. There's Falcons fans who get it, that we have to kind of stay on the sideline right now with our hands tied. And there are other Falcons fans who are bursting at the seams and annoyed by it. And to be honest with you, John, I'm more with the Carl Duke side. I get the that we don't have money and all that kind of stuff, but then it causes me to sort of unravel some moves that were that happened before that got us to this point. So all this splashy stuff is going on, and we're not taking part in any of it. I am kind of feeling a little bit of some kind of way about it.
Yeah, and I'm more on the side with Mike. That's crazy. Mike Bell and I thinking alike. I understand the economics and the patient side of it. Now, would I like to see a move or two? Yeah. But free agency, it hasn't even officially begun. Like, again, contracts can't be signed until 4 o'clock today. Now, you know where some of the moving parts are going to go to. I put together my fantasy offseason shopping list. Literally, by yesterday, you could tear up my fantasy offseason shopping list and move on, because mine was predicated on Ryan's extension being done, maybe a Jake Matthews extension being done. I didn't cut anybody else because I figured once you made those extensions, you've added, you know, $15 million or so in cap space. It would give you money to go out and make one big move and then everything else be an ancillary move from there. When I look, and I'm just scrolling down the updated version right now of the Falcons depth chart, the only place I look right now and I see a glaring hole where you need to sign bodies is at defensive tackle.
You don't see that at tight end?
You have you at least have a starter and a backup there. At defensive tackle right now, the only people under contract that are listed strictly as defensive tackles are Grady Jarrett and Jack Crawford.
Hmm.
That's it. Now, again, you may go out and re-sign Courtney Upshaw. You may go re-sign Ataba Rubin. But as currently constructed right now, your only guys under contract are Jack Crawford, Grady Jarrett, and Tani Tupuo. But again, he's a guy that's a practice squad-ish type player.
Well, you can forget about Austin Seferian Jenkins, and I'm happy to report this. There is interest around the NFL in him. The New Orleans Saints now have expressed interest in Austin Seferian Jenkins. So have the Seahawks. ASJ has expressed interest in the Seahawks. He played high school and college football up in that area. He already had a deal on the table from the Jets, 2 years and $8 million. He wants north of that. We're not going to be able to even pay $8 million over 2 years for Seferian Jenkins. So that ship has sailed. I'm very happy about that. Brent Celek has become available, 33 years old, 11 years in the league, won a chip with Philadelphia last year. And as always, John, kind of been like not the starter, but a solid second tight end, good blocker
him.
On the edge. And he would be had really cheaply, I think, John. 2 year deal, $3 million, you know, the veteran minimum, whatever that is. The guy's 33. He can't command big money.
No, he's one of those guys that would be much like, remember when they brought Jacob Tammy in right towards the end of the career, you can still milk a little bit out of him. Jacob Tammy had a nice year before he got hurt. And you got what you needed, a veteran guy that can, you know, run your offense, can be a blocker. Unfortunately, these are the moves that the Falcons are going to make. And I know people get frustrated. They go, oh, you know, Cleveland spent all this money or Chicago's spending all this money. They see Green Bay. Mind you, Green Bay is a team that I believe has had 4 free agent signings, like big name signings over the last 20 years. So they did 2 in one day, and then they had to cut Jordy Nelson pretty much to do so. They were also a team because they built through the draft and haven't had to re-up with the guys that they've had to yet. They've had cap space available. Atlanta, because you quite frankly have drafted well, You've had to pay your own in Julio Jones, and you're going to have to pay Matt Ryan. You went out and spent money 2 years ago on Alex Mack. Because you've done all of this, and you spent money a year ago on Dontari Poe, because you've done all this, you're right at the cap. And it didn't leave you a lot of flexibility.
We're talking free agency here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. We're going to do more of it next. Let's talk Jimmy Graham here real quick. John, we have the terms on his contract. What do you think it was? 3 years?
$22
million. Keep going.
$30
million. Correct, sir.
So $10
million
per.
Right on the nose. 3 years, $30 million, Jimmy Graham, Green Bay.
Weren't getting him, period.
I know.
You weren't even in the ballpark.
Not even in the ballpark. I mean, they weren't even like exchanging phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Because, look, we were pretty close. We said he'd be somewhere between about $7 and $10 million a year, maybe a little bit north of that. Boom, right at $10 million
a year. I actually thought 10 is a high end for Jimmy Graham. At 31 years old, I said 7 or 8 is what I thought the market would be. But again, $10 million, there you go.
You're right. 10 is high. Mm-hmm. It's Jimmy Graham, future Hall of Famer. And Green Bay needs weapons for Aaron Rodgers. How long has it been since they've had a tight end, dude?
JerMichael Finley, maybe?
Boy, there's a name. Boy, how unfortunate his injury, forcing him to retire. He was a beast. But it's been several years since Green Bay has had a legit tight end.
Mark Chimura?
Who else say? Bubba Franks.
Yeah, Bubba Franks.
Wasn't he a Miami guy?
Damn right
there
he was.
There you go.
Tight end you. Jimmy Graham, Miami guy. That's what happens. You know what? We may not have money right now for the salary cap, but we got money to give you guys here in just a second with the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is
FOND, F-O-N-D, although it looks like Paul spelled it Ford, but it is FOND, F-O-N-D. You'll have till 59 past this hour to text FOND to 72881. We'd be really fond of giving you $1,000. That would be nice in our $1,000 National Signing Bonus contest. Don't text our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Text FOND to 72881 right now. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive.
All right. So I've got this article up at 929thegame.com. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, John, I penned it yesterday. It hit the web this morning. And then the Carlos Hyde move really seriously has like kind of sort of blown up my article here, because I think that changes the landscape for the Browns. I think it changes the landscape for the Giants. John does not agree with this, but let me give you some of the research that I did for this article yesterday.
Okay.
Again, it's up at 929thegame.com. 31 of the 32 teams have a quarterback, have a starting quarterback.
Yep.
31 of 32.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The only one that doesn't is the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
And to me, they're the only team that, to me, it's a no-brainer. They have to go sign A.J. McCarron. He is the best free agent QB left. And then you go draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And you attack it from both angles. That's what I'm doing if I'm Buffalo. But, John, they are the only team that desperately needs a quarterback. So you've got some other teams here. You've got 10 teams, in my opinion, that could or should take a quarterback somewhere in the draft. It's the Bills, the Dolphins, the Giants, the Cardinals, the Browns, the Jets, the Ravens, the Jaguars, the Colts, and the Chargers. Now, Chargers with Rivers, Colts with Luck, Jags with Bortles, Ravens with Flacco, and the Giants with Eli, they might not take a quarterback at all. Or they might. And they could take a quarterback in the first round, the fourth round, the seventh round, or whatever. But the point is, and with the Hyde thing, now I think Cleveland is not going to go with Saquon Barkley. They have Duke Johnson. They have Carlos Hyde. I think they're good at running back. Stranger things have happened, right? Philadelphia had three backs. Remember, they had DeMarco Murray and Darren Sproles, and then they went and gave money to Ryan Matthews. So teams make moves that have you scratching your head. I don't think Cleveland should go or will go Saquon Barkley at the top of the draft. I know you disagree with that. But this, to me, gets somebody, Darnold, Rosen, one of these guys, to number one. Before that, I had Cleveland taking Barkley. I had Cleveland at four taking Minka Fitzpatrick, Bradley Chubb, one of those guys. I had the Giants taking somebody else, and I had the Indianapolis Colts taking an O-lineman or someone like that. But now that Hyde has signed with Cleveland, I think now they will go QB at number one overall. But all of these 31 of 32 teams having their starting quarterback for next year is not good news for Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and all these guys, because the demand for them at the top of the draft isn't as high and as rich as it was a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and I think it still is. And the reason being, the guys that you have as starting quarterbacks aren't franchise guys. Now, Kirk Cousins, Minnesota set. They're not going to go draft a quarterback. They've got a guy locked in for 3 years. Cleveland with Tyrod Taylor, that could be a one-year stopgap, and you could bring in a guy, and I don't think they'll draft a guy at number one, maybe at four or maybe at the top of the second round they decide to go that route, but you can bring in a guy to groom. You talk about Arizona. They got a couple of Hammond Eggers out there, and I know they signed two of them with Bradford and Mike Glennon. Why would you not draft a quarterback? Because neither one of those guys is your future.
I mean, no, I've got – and look, we're getting confused a little bit here. I'm saying at the top of the draft, mm-hmm. I have the Dolphins at – or, pardon me, the Jets at six taking a QB.
Absolutely.
The Browns, let's go up to number one or number four. I got them taking a QB. I've got your previous team, the Dolphins, taking a QB at 11. Yep. The Bills taking a QB at 12. And the Cardinals taking a QB at 15. So I think those – I think four first-round quarterbacks is going to be the situation here. But in terms of the think about it. To the Giants, they're going to go Barkley if the Browns don't. Indianapolis
isn't
going
to – You mean Jonathan Stewart isn't enough for him at running back?
I don't think Indianapolis is taking a quarterback at three. Four is the Browns. We just talked about that. Five is the Broncos. They're not taking a quarterback at five.
I don't think they will.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At the very top of the draft, a lot of teams we thought were going to take a QB. I don't think they're taking a QB.
I think the only one that changed out all that, though, was the Broncos. And that's only because of Case Keenum. Hey, we take a break. We come back. NFL Bounce. We continue this conversation. There's so many deals. We'll try to run through who's where now on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. And we're back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Don't forget, you guys can join 92.9 The Game, V103, and WAOK. Our whole family tomorrow night, March the 15th, we'll host the second annual Unity Game, and the Hawks will take on the Hornets at 7:30. Mark Owens and I will be chest-bumping people up on the entrance where the box office is. That's going to be a lot of fun. $5 of every ticket purchase for the game through hawks.com/unity will be donated to the United Way to benefit the Thomasville Boys and Girls Club and M. Agnes Jones University or Elementary. Either one, you won't want to miss it. For tickets to the Unity game, visit hawks.com/unity. Should be a lot of fun tomorrow. Hugh Douglas, for those of you keeping score at home, will have to guard Hot Sauce in the fourth quarter.
Who's Hot Sauce?
The guy from the And One mixtape, Unbelievable Handles.
Oh, okay.
You need to go look up Darren Ravel.
He's got the in out. He's got all that.
He's got the made Darren Ravel look like a bumbling idiot more than his tweets.
John,
do.
I could freaking cross over Darren Ravel.
You gotta go watch the Darren Ravel video.
I've seen it.
It's hilarious.
I've seen it.
Hugh Douglas will now have to guard Hot Sauce.
Look, Hugh Douglas is a pro athlete. He's going to do just fine. And by the way, me and Daryl disagree. Well, I'm not saying he's going to stop him or lock him up or anything like that. Tell me if you so me and Daryl have different advice for Hugh Douglas as he tries to defend Hot Sauce. I am recommending that Hugh get his butt down in a defensive position and just kind of ole him and let him go by. Because what you don't want is to get crossed and get your ankles broken and you fall.
Right.
Or he passes it between your legs. Mm-hmm. You don't want any of that to happen. So to me, you just get in a low defensive stance. You drop your butt. Now, Daryl is saying the exact opposite. He is saying don't do that. Don't spread your legs because then he's going to go between your legs with the ball. So which side of that are you on?
Here's the problem. I don't think Hugh can drop his butt that low. You know, the knees are kind of bad for Hugh Douglas.
Good point.
So the defensive stance is going to be a little more erect for Hugh. So I would keep the legs I would keep it a little bit more closed. Keep the legs a little more closed. But if you're Hugh, do you try to muscle up the Hot Sauce?
Nah.
Do you shoot him a forearm and maybe try to knock him off balance? Although he was promptly told you were not allowed to muscle up the Hot Sauce. I'm saying shoot him a forearm shiver or hand check the hell out of him.
He was basically told you can't touch him.
Yeah, he was told that.
They're going to call a flagrant foul on
That's
you.
That's fine. Let him get two free
Unity
throws.
Night.
You just don't want to be a viral video like your boy Darren Ravel was.
Right, right.
And here's the thing. No matter what happens with Hugh tomorrow, it won't be as bad as...
Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say.
Get him, Hugh.
No, it won't.
I love that dude, man.
Thank goodness for Unity Night. They have scratched out all of us doing, like, stupid stuff. Our whole role tomorrow is to meet people and throw out T-shirts. That's it.
We can't look horrible. We can't look dumb. Because we are giving away T-shirts. We're throwing out T-shirts.
They are going to play the video that I was gone for an hour for that really angered all you guys that one day. Me and Big Tigger riding in the car. So that will play during Unity Night tomorrow. Although that's just me and Big Tigger chopping up hip-hop, culture, the city, sports. I mean, I can't look dumb doing that, can I?
Nah.
There's a push on that one.
I knew Paul was going to say something smart-assery.
You don't get a straight answer for Preacher Man.
Mark didn't like smartassery.
Why not? What?
I didn't like it the second time either, so stop saying it.
Did you dump that?
Yes.
You nerd. Give me a break.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
Where am I pointing right
Mark,
now?
Mark, I'm just kidding. I'm just
Listen,
kidding.
Listen, if it was up to me, it'd
I'm
be.
I'm just kidding.
What's the number one rule in this show?
We don't create meetings.
Yeah, we were in a meeting yesterday.
For this show to do one podcast where we just let it fly.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
We don't intentionally cuss to cuss.
Yeah, we kind of do.
But we have the conversations that you don't hear on the air, a little more free-flowing, more uncensored Rick and John.
I love it. I love it. Look, I'll just say this right now. I don't know what percentage you are, John. Look, I'm giving you 100%, but I can't give you 100%. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're probably getting, I don't know, two-thirds of me. You're probably getting two-thirds of what you could actually get if I could tell, like, really dirty jokes and raunchy stories and all that. But it is what it is, man. The FCC, you know, they have made their decision that you can't say a certain amount of words.
We already know John's bad at math, so.
Two-thirds would be, what, 72%? Somewhere in there?
I'm literally tripping out about something right now. I'm tripping out.
Okay.
I really don't understand. Just out here in the bullpen talking with Sean Thompson, our assistant program director, a.k.a. the underboss. And he was telling me that he likes Cleveland taking Saquon Barkley, even though they have Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. I just don't get it. I really don't. You don't need Saquon Barkley if you have two solid NFL running backs. I just totally don't get it. I don't understand this. I can't believe I'm on Kamala Island about this. Like, I'm blown away. I am really blown away why the Cleveland Browns would spend a number one overall pick in the draft on a running back when they already have two running backs. I just don't get it. So, wow. And I know you're on the other side of this, and we have a juice box bet all about it, but I am tripping. I'm not confused. I'm tripping. Bo Morgan this morning coming at me about it. Sean Thompson in the bullpen saying that they should take Barkley. I just don't get it. I am 1,000% in disagreement with that.
ESPN has an article said, former 49er running back Carlos Hyde expected to sign with Browns. Saquon Barkley still in play. Cleveland.com, Browns are signing former running back Carlos Hyde. Saquon Barkley still in play. It says this does not preclude them from taking Saquon Barkley. Thing is, Barkley, if they consider him the best player on the board, I think unless they get a ransom for number one, meaning multiple first-round picks and all that stuff for somebody that wants to trade up and get somebody, you take the best player on the board, what you have. And if Saquon Barkley was the best player on the board yesterday, still the best player on the board today, you take him.
He is the best player on the board, but it's about you gotta infuse common sense and need into the equation as well. And it, to me, does not make common sense for them to follow up a Barkley pick. They gave Carlos Hyde $15 million over 3 years. That is a top 10 annual salary among running backs. Top 10. Why would you pay a guy top 10 running back money? You already have Duke Johnson, who you're going to give more money to, and then take Saquon Barkley. I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
We'll see what happens. I'm still erring on the side of Saquon Barkley. I think you take the most dynamic player that can not only run the football, catch the ball, return kicks for you if you want him to do that. He can do it all.
So what does Carlos Hyde do?
He runs the ball.
When?
On third down or second down.
Duke Johnson's their third down guy.
But Duke Johnson's more of a Swiss Army knife. They don't run him a ton.
But on third down, he's on the field.
Yeah, he's a guy
every
that goes,
time.
He goes out and catches a lot of passes.
We can move on. I just don't get it. I really, really don't get it. I don't get it. Oh, but one more point here, John. It would be just like the Browns to have three high-priced running backs. And then you got one. If they take Saquon Barkley, we're going to get to October, and Carlos Hyde is going to be chirping about lack of touches. I can already see it happening.
Well, and if that happens, trade him to somebody. They got a deadline. Get rid of him. 15 mil, somebody can take him.
You know what? I got some intel yesterday, John. There is going to be another running back on the open market.
Okay.
And his name is Latavius Murray
of
the Vikings. So the Vikings are going to go from, you know, Dalvin Cook and Murray and Jerick McKinnon. McKinnon takes a lot of money, $30 million over 4 years, $30 million over 4 years to go to the Niners. Latavius Murray, John, has a $5 million like roster bonus or something coming up here. And why would the Vikings pay him that money and you've got Dalvin Cook coming back healthy? I think he's going to be and by the way, the Vikings, kind of like us, 2019, they've got like four or five big-time guys that they're going to have to pay, kind of like us,
yep.
with Debo and Neal and all these guys. I think they're going to say bye-bye to Latavius Murray, for what it's worth.
Very well could be. Another running back that they're talking about potentially on the move, DeMarco Murray, who had been cut by the Titans. You know where he's meeting today? That would be Seattle.
And Detroit, right?
Yeah, no surprise, though, Seattle could be the front runner for him. That's a perfect fit. I think we talked about that when he was cut by Tennessee. Seattle needs a number one. DeMarco Murray's in every other year back. That would mean this year would be the good DeMarco Murray.
So with these sort of aged backs, Jonathan Stewart goes to the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. And so I'll turn it around on you. I don't think, to these reports, John, I'm trying to be cute with you. I don't think that precludes them from taking Saquon Barkley second overall.
No, if Barkley's
the Browns take, Darnold number one. James Stewart. Remember the old Jacksonville Jaguars running back? Man, he was a bull.
Vikings also used to have a guy named James Stewart, former Miami.
They did. But Jonathan Stewart goes to the Giants. Decent money he got there, too. So you've got Frank Gore meeting with the Lions. DeMarco Murray met with the Lions and Seahawks, or he will. And so you've got those three guys. Like, does Gore go to Detroit and Murray goes to Seattle and Stewart already landed in New York? I could see it. I could see it playing out like that.
Yeah, that could very well happen. Gore's going to get another job. Detroit needs somebody to run the rock. Seattle needs somebody to run the rock. Now San Francisco, even though you've paid money to Jerick McKinnon, they need a number one bell cow back. Here's some of the other interesting moves that are continuing to kind of bounce around. We briefly talked about Mohammed Wilkerson going to Green Bay. I think that's a bigger signing for them than Jimmy Graham because their biggest deficiency was on the defensive side of the ball. If Mo Wilkerson wants to play and you put him next to Mike Daniels and some of the guys that they have on the defensive line, I think Green Bay could be on to something.
I'm not going to go with you there. I think the Jimmy Graham move is colossal, but the Mohammed Wilkerson move is big time as well. What does he have left in the tank, right? I mean, his career is kind of fledgling and kind of arrow pointing the wrong way. Does he go to Green Bay? Does he rekindle it? Does he get the fire again? I mean, I haven't heard Mo Wilkerson's name in two or three years.
You'd like to hope so. I mean, it's only his seventh year in the league, so it's not like he's an old guy. Defensive linemen a lot of times will play 10, 12, 14 years. I kind of hope they don't. He's only 28. 6'4", 315 pounds. You'd like to think getting a fresh start, getting away from New York, getting a chance to go to an organization that's trying to win a Super Bowl might be the kick in the rear end that Mo Wilkerson needs.
So we're talking about free agency here on our NFL Bounce. And let's talk about the Jets for a moment. I still think at six they're going to take a quarterback. But you signed Teddy Bridgewater to a one-year deal. I think it was $12 million. Did you see the terms on that, on Teddy B?
I did not.
Was it? I'll look that up in a minute. I think it was $12 million. Josh McCown, who has been told by the Jets he is their starter this year, 1 year and $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you take Mayfield or Josh Allen or one of these guys, but that's what's up with the Jets at the QB spot.
Yeah, and McCown actually earned himself the job last year. I thought McCown played decent. Not great. This will give Teddy B an opportunity to go in, get healthy. If he takes the job from Josh McCown, good for him. And then maybe the Jets aren't looking for a quarterback. We come back, we do From the Bible with the Preacher Man. We always look for him. It's like, where's Waldo? It's where's Paul?
All right, we're back here in the Kia Studios. I wanted to clean up the Teddy Bridgewater thing. The terms of his contract have not been announced. So it's a one-year deal with the Jets. We don't know the money on that. But Josh McCown got $10 million. They have named him the starter. I would have to imagine that Teddy Bridgewater
got about
5 to 6, I would say, just kind of kicking the tires on him. It's a look-see signing by the Jets to bring in Teddy B. So lots of popcorn popping in the NFL. Preacher
we give Preacher Man a look-see every day.
We do.
Hi, Paul.
And yeah, a wink.
Before I get started, can I at least have my open? This is not Read Between the Lines. This is actually From the Bible. Oh!
Rick and John bring the knowledge.
You're smart.
Preacher Man brings these stories you missed and, yes, the research material.
Open up. Air out.
This is From the Bible.
Hallelujah!
All right, From the Bible. 92.9, The Game.
Brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770, the number 4, Floods Dunn Waterproofing.
It's good to hear you open. You know, Mark, I know, Mark, I'm with you. I wish it was 1:40. My mouth is hurting like hell. But it's only 12:40, and we got some great interviews coming up.
We got a full hour coming up.
We do.
Starting at 1 o'clock. Jason Longshore, Atlanta United. Mm-hmm. All right, so apparently there were multiple Bowling Green football players who were caught on camera in a fight on the beach at Miami. This comes from Jordan Strack. He said he talked to Mike Jinks. He says they're aware of the situation and they're handling it internally. There were no charges filed, Jinks said. I'm very disappointed and we are investigating. He says we hold all of our athletes to high standards on and off campus, the university said in a statement. Any BGSU student found who have violated the student code of conduct will be held accountable. The student athlete may also face discipline from the football program.
Yeah, I'm watching the video. It doesn't really show how the video starts. I see
It starts in the middle of a melee.
Yeah, I don't know how the fight started. I mean, the video, it is literally a melee. There's a couple of guys getting mud stomped. There's a guy in a white tank top that's not... He's not doing so well in this whole fight, and apparently this is all Bowling Green football players.
The amusing part to me about this whole video is they all got backpacks on.
Yeah, who fights with a backpack? Backpack's still on.
When it goes down, you don't have time to take your backpack off. You just got to start throwing hands, right?
Yeah, but you got to throw a punch, get that backpack off. That is a hindrance when you're trying to throw punches.
Yeah, it creates separation, right, John?
Man, you got to pop, pop, backpack off, and now pop, pop, and get it going again.
What do you think it was, tequila? Making people angry and ornery there on South Beach?
No, here's what normally happens. One group has shot their shot at a bunch of ladies. The next group comes in and tries to shoot their shot. The first group, then it comes words. And now neither one of you get the women because you're all bruised and battered up.
Yeah, but what if the first group shot their shot and they're a bunch of bleep hats and don't deserve the pretty ladies? And then another crew comes in. Maybe they got, I don't know. I don't know what they got. But maybe they're a little bit more persuasive.
They're football players.
They're
in great shape.
Yeah, or maybe they're football players looking good on the beach. So I don't know. Like, why would you, if you were that first group and you got shot down, why would you be butthurt about the other group coming in and when you're not making time with the ladies?
Again, everybody's really sensitive.
There you go.
There's alcohol involved, most likely. And what do we know now? People don't like to be told no. I used to tell anybody, I'm happily married now, so I don't have to do this. I will shoot my shot at everybody in the club. Every single one. You tell me no, so what? I move to the next one. I didn't know you when I started talking to you. I'm not going to know you if you tell me no. Who cares?
Good point.
People can't take rejection.
It's just two letters, Preacher Man. Two letters. N-O. Yeah. That's all it is.
Let's keep it moving. All right, JaVale McGee put out on Twitter the bet between himself and Kevin Durant. Apparently the bet is if Texas wins, JaVale will have to wear a onesie to a game. If Nevada wins, KD will have to wear a fanny pack of his choosing. And he said, at Nevada Hoops, please don't let me down.
That is an awesome bet. I do have Texas winning that game. I like the Mo Bamba of it all. Mo Bamba.
I really do not want to see JaVale McGee in a onesie.
Do they make onesies for guys that tall?
That's what I'm saying. It's a visual that I don't even want to have in my brain. Here's the thing, though. Eric Musselman is a former NBA head coach. Mm-hmm. You might remember he got the Sacramento job, got a DUI, was promptly fired from his job, and was out of the league and out of it a little bit, and now he's back. Eric Musselman, the son of, what's my man's name that passed away? Bill Musselman, first Timberwolves head coach, I think. Anyway, he's doing a great job with Nevada. A lot of people think that this team has a legitimate game or two run in them. That should be a hell of a game between Nevada and Texas.
But what has Shaka Smart done historically in the tournament? He gets his team in. They may not be seated high. They give you hell for 48 minutes. Now
I'm picking Texas.
Or 40 minutes, not 48. Can Texas do that? They have underachieved a lot this year. Injuries with Bamba have not helped them a whole lot.
Mo Bamba is not just Dikembe Mutombo. Right, the tall, shot-blocking, rebounding guy. He has a really nice release on his shot. Good free-throw shooter. I saw him bang a buzzer-beater three at the end of the first half in the Big 12 tournament. So Mo Bamba is a hell of a prospect.
You said bang. We move over to Preacher Man.
Yeah. All right. We all know, the Carolina Panthers are up for sale. Michael Rubin, the owner of Fanatics.com, he's worth about $3.2
billion. Whoa.
He wants to purchase it as the majority owner. However, he would like to bring in Diddy and Steph Curry as minority.
Nice. So, Preacher Man, I think, don't you get most of your Miami gear from Fanatics?
No.
Who do you go through?
All Canes or Canes Wear out of Miami.
Look at this guy right here. Just go straight to the source. Cuts out the middleman.
I know the owners of both of those places. Those are my dudes. Harry and Brett, those are my guys.
But Fanatics is like, they're like the leaders in hats and shirts and jerseys and all that at this point, right?
Yeah, I wish in my infancy I would have had the money or the vision to create that. Because most people do go, because what I do, I'm going for specialty stuff. I know what I'm looking for. I go to the Miami shop themselves. But most people, like if I'm shopping for a Christmas present for Mark Owens and I go, all right, I'm going to go on Fanatics. I will find him a nice hoodie. We'll go ahead and get it for him there.
Now, do you go, are Fanatics and Lids, are they together or are they two separate things?
I think they're two separate entities because Lids is only hats or mostly only hats.
All right. 3.2, Bill? Yeah, literally like 0.2 of the 3.2 bill. Well, see, I can't even use my joke because he doesn't go through Fanatics. He goes through all these sites for the Canes. Sites.
Now, here's the thing with that, Paul. 3.2 bill. So when he drops the price from $129 on a hoodie to $109, he's not really doing us much of a favor. Like, give away some free stuff. You're worth 3.2 bucks.
John, he's trying to buy an NFL team. Right. You got to have the bread for that.
That is true. The price of your hoodie just went up.
He's
Mark.
Minority owner of the 76ers.
I didn't know that.
A minority owner of the New Jersey Devils.
Didn't know that either.
He has ownership stake in a Premier League football team.
Soccer. Okay, so soccer, you mentioned hoops, and you mentioned
hockey.
So he could just go ahead and buy this NFL team. It wouldn't have to divest in the others, right?
Right.
Okay, because Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Nuggets and the Rams.
Well, he owns the Nuggets, the Rams, and the
Soccer
Avalanche.
Club out there? Oh,
and plus he has a soccer team.
See, but he doesn't have to give up the...
Right, but I think with the Kroenke family, I believe he put the Nuggets or the Avalanche in his kid's name.
Must be nice.
But it's all in the family.
Oh, my God, does he have money.
Imagine being one of those kids. Like, you graduate college. Hey, by the way, you own the Nuggets now. Have fun with Paul Millsap's contract.
Are you kidding me?
You
own the Nuggets
right,
now.
You own the Nuggets.
Oh, my God. That'd be so cool.
Like, I was just happy to go to a Nuggets game. You own the Nuggets. That's awesome.
Do what you want with it.
Yeah. Have fun on Twitter.
Oh, man.
All right. New York Yankee slugger Aaron Judge will earn approximately $622,000 during the 2018 season compared to his fellow teammate Giancarlo Stanton, who will make $25 million. So apparently Judge is making 2.4% of Stanton's salary.
Yeah, that's what that's called when you have a guy on his rookie contract in baseball, man. And you have team control and all that stuff. I cannot wait to watch those two guys hit in Yankee Stadium.
I want Grant McCauley to cover his ears right now.
Mm-hmm.
Grant McCauley, our Braves and MLB insider. Look, I don't like the salary structure in baseball, the under team control thing.
Sure.
Because like there are some guys that get, like Evan Longoria back in it, he got broke off before it came up. Chris Bryant got his money before his thing came up. Acuna's going to get his money, I presume, before his thing came up. But Preacher Man, you've got guys, some of the best players in baseball making $400,000, $500,000.
Yep.
You just said Judge making $600,000.
Yeah, he's not eligible for arbitration until 2019.
Oh, my God. And then you've got pitchers who have like a 4.5 ERA making right. $15 million a year. I'm
ridiculous.
Just saying, like, that, it just doesn't work for me. I get it. It's the reality of baseball, but that just doesn't work for me.
All right, let's move on to research material for today as we're running out of time. Yanitza Munoz.
You had me at Yanitza.
There you go.
Spell, please.
It's Yenitza.
Oh, she pops right up.
Munoz.
All right. So I will be thoroughly unprepared for the Jason Longshore interview.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.